I'm happy to introduce Randy Detlow this morning. Randy represents AMBS, Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, in the Western region. This has been his first trip to this part of the world and has been getting good reports of enjoying the space and the time here. Randy, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. We look forward to your word.
Well, it is good to be here this morning, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share from Pastors Bryce and Emily and other leaders in the church for inviting me to come. I bring greetings from AMBS. Our president, David Buschert, and other faculty and staff at the seminary, including Professor Drew Strait, who grew up just down the road in Spokane. And when I told him that I was headed to Washington, and specifically that I was coming to Eastern Washington, he was just so excited. And so he'll be happy to hear about my time here, and he knows this area and this space. Last summer, I was going to say that our President Buschert was recently affirmed by the board for another four-year term as president, and he has done an amazing job of leading the seminary through these last number of years, which have been really challenging for us all, we know that. Last summer, he, along with two other faculty members, taught two courses, taught 2 week courses for our 35 students in Ethiopia. And we anticipate another round of courses this year. Seven of those students just graduated last weekend with others from AMBS, earning a Master of Arts degree in Theology and Global Anabaptism. Our work in Ethiopia, as well as in South Korea, Thailand, Indonesia, and Kenya, is part of our commitment to the global Anabaptist community to provide resources for theological education that strengthens Anabaptist identity in the Churches of Mennonite World Conference. More than half of our 140-ish students are from outside of North America, and AMBS is an increasingly diverse and welcoming place for all students. Just to say a word more about introducing myself, I have been in this role with AMBS since February of 2021. Prior to that, I was a pastor for 30 years, serving three congregations in Indiana-Michigan Mennonite Conference, including the Holdeman Mennonite Church in Wakarusa, just south of Elkhart, where a few years ago we prayed for Bryce and Emily, who were trying to make their process to get to Menno Mennonite Church from Canada to begin their roles here. Because we specifically prayed because Bryce's uncle and aunt were a part of our congregation, and they knew the story and what was happening here. Currently, my wife Joy and I attend Prairie Street Mennonite Church in Elkhart, another congregation of Indiana-Michigan Mennonite Conference and Mennonite Church USA, we could say a sister or brother congregation. And Joy and I have two adult children and also one daughter-in-law and two grand dogs. For the time being, we all live within 10 miles or so of each other, and so we're delighted that we can spend time together often. I also want to say thank you to Menno Mennonite Church for your support of AMBS through the years in a number of different ways. Through your giving to Mennonite Church USA, and then also to Mennonite Education Association, as well as other ways you support our work by making use of some of the resources that we have, or attending other events, or allowing your pastors to attend those events. AMBS depends on congregations like yours to tap people on the shoulder and give them opportunities to test their call and to encourage them then sometimes to further study at places like AMBS. So thank you for doing your part to call and raise up leaders for the church. Maybe there's a future pastor or leader listening here this morning, either in person in the building or online. We're glad to, we'd love to have you come and explore that call at AMBS. Would you pause and pray with me this morning? God, we are grateful for your presence with us today on this beautiful Lord's Day here in this part of the world. We're thankful that as we come together, we open our hearts and our minds to listen for your voice. And I trust that the words that I speak and the messages that I have from Scripture will include words that speak to each one of us. Thank you for your presence with us today, God. We invite you into this space and into our lives and to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. When was the last time you reconciled a bank statement? Is that still a thing you do? You remember the old days when they sent bank statements to us? I don't know if they do that to you anymore. Mine does not. They just get an email or something. But I have to admit that I can't remember the last time I tried to reconcile my checkbook. Do you still have a checkbook? I mean, young people don't know what checkbooks are. But when I got married 37 years ago, my wife and I negotiated an arrangement according to our gifts and abilities. And we decided that caring for the checkbook was better suited to my spouse than to me. And she's been the keeper of the books all of those years. And I think for us these days, we more or less trust the bank to do it right. And I know that Joy is watching her online account continuously, because whenever I use my debit card, she gets a notification and she wonders what in the world I'm spending money on. But in case you haven't done it in a while, reconciling a bank statement involves comparing the bank's records of your checking or savings account activity with your own records of the account for the same period of time, right? So the purpose is to locate any differences between the two versions and to allow you to update your records to match those of the bank, as well as maybe to spot any errors that were made by the bank. So, you know, a bank reconciliation is needed to ensure that your checking account balance is correct. Or another way to say it is that you are bringing together your record of the account and the bank record and bringing your account into alignment with theirs. As most often, your account is the one that needs to be changed, although occasionally they do make mistakes, right? So you're bringing your records together to make them consistent. So in one context, even a different one than what Bryce was talking about today, that's one way to think about reconciliation. Well, I got to thinking about this because there's a line in the AMBS mission statement that talks about a different form of reconciliation. It reads, AMBS serves the church, educating followers of Jesus Christ to be leaders for God's reconciling mission in the world. Educating followers of Jesus to be leaders for God's reconciling mission in the world. Well, over the next few minutes, I want us to consider those words, God's reconciling mission in the world, to think about what is God trying to accomplish in this whole venture with humans? In the most fundamental sense, what is God's mission in the world? And how has God invited us, as God's called out people that we know as the church, to be part of that mission? Well, in order to start thinking about it, we'll get to those verses in Corinthians a little bit later. But I'm going to start in the beginning. In the beginning of the story of God's interaction with humans, his creation. So Genesis 1 and 2, of course, tells us the story of creation. And then in chapter 3, we hear about disobedience and sin and estrangement from God. Right? Adam and Eve break the rules and willfully disobey God and create a break in their relationship with God. But what I particularly want us to notice in that story today is that from the start, as God experiences this distance from these human beings, God responds by looking for them, by reaching out to them in an effort to bring them back into relationship, right? So remember the story from from when Adam disobeys and what happens next? God goes looking for him in the garden, right? And it says that God calls out to them, Adam, where are you? Where are you? I really believe here that God is seeking the intimacy and connection that was there from the moments of creation, and now God recognizes that something is different. Because they are hiding. Adam and Eve are hiding. There's shame and guilt. Everything, it seems, has changed. Well, not quite everything. God has not changed. God, who created these human beings, is still the same, and God reaches out to them to bring them back into relationship, to reconcile with them, right? God doesn't change to be like them. God reaches out to them to bring them back into alignment with God. And it works. Well, sometimes, for a limited amount of time, maybe, but we see glimpses of what relationship with God can be like in the stories of Abraham and Moses and Samuel and David and Elijah and Isaiah, just to name a few. But in each of those cases, they also have their failures and disappointments and disobedience. There is still ultimately broken relationships and unfulfilled promises until Jesus comes at just the right time. Right in Galatians 4:4, talks about that timing. When the time is full or right, Jesus comes to make a way for people to be reconciled with God. And we could say not only to make a way, but also to be the way. And then after Jesus, even, we have the story of Saul, or Paul, the apostle, who within his own story has these moments of disobedience and even violence against God and God's people. And Paul is reconciled suddenly through a relationship with Jesus, right, when he meets him on the road, and then becomes a reconciler and a church planter and a writer on God's behalf. Paul takes on God's reconciling mission and makes it personal. And Paul writes to the believers in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "For in him," or in Christ Jesus, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." Through Jesus, God was pleased to reconcile all things back to the perfection of God in the beginning. Jesus shows us the perfection or completeness of God in human form and becomes the standard for all human life, the measure that all humanity is meant to be. And Jesus not only shows us the what, but also the how. Not only is Jesus the measure of what we are to be as humans, but Jesus also provides the way that we can be fully human in relationship through Christ with God. Again, those words from 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 17. "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the one who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, it was God's idea from the beginning. Clear back to when he went looking for Adam and Eve. From the beginning, to reconcile with all humanity and to invite us to be part of this mission to reconcile the world. and to bring reconciliation to the world. So I think one of these things, one of the ideas here is that God's mission in the world is to reconcile all things, humanity and all creation. And God invites us to be ambassadors or spokespersons, or even we could say agents for God to share in this mission of reconciliation. This is what Palmer Becker speaks of in his book about Anabaptist essentials, that at the center of what it means to be an Anabaptist Christian is this work of reconciliation that God commends to us. We are called not only to live in right relationship with God ourselves, but also with fellow humans in the world, as well as inviting others into this life of faith and obedience to God through Christ. Well, let me tell you about a couple of people who are students at AMBS that I think are following this call to align their lives with God's mission in the world. The first one is Ndunge Sefu, who came to AMBS in January last year, a little more than a year ago. He and his family were living in South Africa most recently, but their original home was in the Democratic Republic of Congo. He was pastoring a Baptist church in South Africa, but he had grown up in the Mennonite Brethren tradition in the DRC. During the pandemic, he made a connection with the University Mennonite Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, through a mutual friend or through a third party, as they were meeting on Zoom, like we all were, right? And his family became very involved, attending virtually on a consistent basis. And when the church learned that he would like to study and grow in his understanding about Anabaptism, they told him that he should go to AMBS, where their former pastor is on our faculty, David Miller. And not only they told him he should go there, they agreed to sponsor him for a year that would help him get his student visa. And so Ndunge and his wife Micheline and their two teenage children came to Elkhart. And Ndunge began classes that first January, just after they had arrived. And Micheline, who is a lawyer or a magistrate in the Congo, has also begun studies on a part-time basis and serves as a full-time volunteer in our church leadership center. Now, think about that. None of that could have happened without a worldwide pandemic. But more importantly, none of that could have happened without the Spirit of God moving in a congregation to help them think about how to be ambassadors for Christ in the world and to broaden their perspective even beyond their own community. Another current student has a very different story and a very different pathway to AMBS. She's a mother of two young adult children, I think one now graduating from college, and they're pursuing their own educational goals. She had been involved in her church's pastoral care for a while and got even more involved during the pandemic while her church was also undergoing a pastoral transition. And she decided to kind of follow that calling and nudging and attend seminary at AMBS. And she could have chosen to do that from her home. More than half of our students in the MDiv program do it that way. But because her husband was already working remotely and could continue to do that, and she preferred to study on campus, they moved to Elkhart, where they have an apartment on the AMBS campus, and her husband commutes back to his job in central Illinois when he needs to. She is preparing to be an ambassador and a reconciling presence in the world. Well, back in Corinth, remember, Paul writes, "In Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ." Remember that an ambassador is a person who's a citizen of one nation who serves in another place as a representative of his home nation. As ambassadors for Christ, we serve in the world, but we are representing Christ, and our true home is the kingdom of heaven. Like that old gospel song, right? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Our mission is to invite people to be reconciled with God and with each other, to live lives more aligned with God's original plan, a harmonious relationship of love and justice, walking together. So what? Yeah, every sermon needs a so what. What does it mean for us? What do we do with it, right? Let me offer a couple of suggestions to think about. I think we can think about how we are serving in this role of as ambassadors, right? Are we staying true to the values and standards of our home kingdom? Maybe as found in the Sermon on the Mount? To ask ourselves, where is our allegiance? Because, right, an ambassador should not get too wrapped up in the affairs of this place, but must remember who she is serving back home in the true kingdom. So we might ask, are you a reconciling presence in your community? Are you bringing people together with love and justice? And we know, especially over these last number of years, that that's not an easy thing in our world right now, that is so easily divided into opposite categories of right and left, or red and blue, or whatever the categories are where you live. And those categories, those distinctions, could easily distract us from our mission, which is always about bringing people together. Reconciliation. So, if or when our lives get out of balance, or when we feel torn or lost or alone, we can stop and listen for the reconciling voice of God calling to us. Where are you? Where are you? And we don't need to be afraid, because God is not calling in anger or vengeance. God's call is always in love, inviting us to come back into the warmth of God's embrace and find again our true home. Will you pray with me? Reconciling God, you have called each one of us into being and called for us when we were lost. You have sustained us through the years and prepared a future with you for each of us. Thank you for Menno Mennonite Church, for calling them into being and giving them a mission and purpose in this community. Sustain them by your Spirit and fill them with love and compassion and energy to fulfill their calling in this place. And by your Spirit's transforming power, reconcile us anew each day, aligning us with your values and shaping us into a community of faith that welcomes all tribes and tongues and people and nations, so that we may more fully reflect your purpose to reconcile all things in Christ. Amen. Thank you again for the opportunity to share with you today. I will be around after the service and sharing one of the classes for a few minutes. Please do check out the AMBS.edu website and read about the opportunities and resources that are available there. And there's a link that will connect you to many of those resources virtually. There's also an option to give, and I invite you to consider a gift to AMBS at some time in this year. Thank you again.